minute, Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. This is one of the pre-records.
We've got a special guest.
Hang on, I didn't even make to the Daily. I'm just one of the...
Yeah, so this is... No, we've got Leon Shergren on the show. No, we've we're just pre-recording the guest ones because when...
Just going away.
Yeah.
Currently, Josh is sunning himself in...
Did you say sunning myself?
Yeah, sunning himself in Mykonos.
Yeah.
Or somewhere within Europe.
Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I've got a dedicated ISDN line.
Do you actually? I was going to say.
We've got a big budget for this show, Leon.
How impressed would you be if I had...
No, you had an ISDN line. Yeah, I'd be very impressed.
But I was even thinking, wouldn't it be great to... There's a part of me which was like, if the internet's really shit, which is what I'm going to be relying on to do the
podcast. Where are you going, by the way?
Bree knows, but we're going to... we're going to... Bree's in the room, that's why I sort of said. But no.
London and then to...
Italy.
Italy.
And then we're going to do like Eastern Europe, Montenegro, Turkey, and a bunch of other places.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
So I know that Vodafone in Italy's got the fastest 4G.
Yeah.
Jeez, so what's happening over in Italy with Vodafone?
I know that's where it's at. So anyway, that's we've decided that we're banking our guest ones because it's good to have it in person.
Thank you.
And we'll put these out if there's any, either one. Technical
Leon, Leon, do you remember the days of us working on the street team?
Oh, I fondly remember that.
Do you remember the day?
It sounded like people are going to say, hey, I thought you didn't edit the show, but Tommy's managed to do what sounds like an abrupt edit.
Yeah, because
that was your edit point.
I was boring.
You were really boring.
Thank
really
you
boring.
So much for saving that.
Remember?
I tune out.
So Leon and I worked at Fox FM the early days on the street team delivering... icy cold cans of Coke. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was that one.
People say that and like as a joke, but we actually did do that.
We did exactly that. Yeah. There was this one shift though that you and I did. And I want to know if you remember. It was after the Christmas party. I was so hungover and you were so hungover. And we were driving out to where Josh grew up. We were in Berwick.
Yeah.
And we were at some chicken shop and it was hell.
I don't remember that one. Like a lot of the shifts were hungover. But I don't remember that one specifically. No.
That scarred me. I think it was towards the end of my career as a street teamer.
Yeah.
But it was hell. And you were there with me. So
I'm glad I supported you through it.
I've got fond memories.
You're here today because of me.
You support. And you drove. Which I was really appreciative of.
Someone's
on that
willing
day.
To take the
Let's
the
not
points.
Say who drove.
You can't breath test them of the past.
Yes. I've never met someone that could drive so well completely drunk.
No, I just hungover. I didn't say drunk.
No,
is the day after.
Yeah.
I just like, you can't breath test the past.
You can't breath it. Or the street team, apparently. Yeah. They get pulled over. Oh, mate.
We're Cops, just give a few cans of Coke, you're off.
Exactly. Mate, we're not doing anything.
But when we used to drive the street team cars, they would have like Hamish and Andy on the side, their decals. People legit thought, oh, it's Hamish and Andy are in there, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what they do is drive around cars with their faces on it.
Well, funny you say that because I was pitching to Tommy to have the Daily Talk Show on a decal, but I've quoted it up too expensive.
How much?
$2,800.
What was the decal going to be? Like your faces?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, well, it was going to be...
Like, that's pretty... No offense, not many people know what you look like.
But that's why we need to get our face out there.
Okay, yeah, good point.
It's sort of like a, new team to the market, need to push hard.
I was just thinking, you've literally done the classic work your way up from the street team to a legitimate role within the radio station.
Yeah, it's December this year will be 10 years in the company.
What do they give you after 10 years?
You get long service leave.
No, you have to have been an employee. We were just casuals.
No, I was employed because I was a panel operator before I was a street teamer.
Do they
Because I actually, here's a fun, I don't know if you know this, but I started off at Fox FM, the radio station, as a panel operator. So pressing the buttons for shows, like the night shows, Jack Post used to do. Cackling Jack. And
episode 90.
I wanted some extra cash and I wanted to get more job, hours within the radio station. So I applied for the street team just so I can do that as well. and I got rejected.
Why?
Because I was told...
Breatho test.
That's all my driving. I was told they wanted me to focus on paneling because not many people could do it. And then about a month later, four people quit at the same time. They came crawling back.
You said, yeah, yeah, all right, just this once.
Well, Leon and I worked together for 11
Did
months.
You?
Yeah.
Did oh, you know? That's right.
Yeah.
Fond memories.
Yeah, it was good. Leon saying it with a smile on your face. What do you remember of that time?
Whenever you say that, I just remember you in an Arnott's Shape costume.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And so what were you doing at the time, Leon?
I was a junior producer on that radio show, Fifi and Jules.
Yeah, okay. And I was, digital content producer. And I was the classic trying to weasel content ideas on air. Very hard for me to get to do any social media stuff, but always had a phone.
Always wanted to be the talent.
Was there a vibe of Josh wanting to be on air?
Absolutely. I'm still convinced the time that he pissed his pants, he did that on purpose for content.
Wouldn't put
all
it past
for
me.
Content.
All for content. Wouldn't put it past me.
Okay, so then at that point you were a junior producer.
Yep.
And then you moved to Sydney.
Then I was the EP of the National Drive show when Fifi and Jules finished.
That's right.
And then went to Sydney with Dan Amaz to do breakfast for 9 months in Raxed. And then did like a month on Rove and Sam, and then went to Triple M and worked with Merrick.
That was the length of the show, wasn't it? 1 month of Rove and Sam.
No comment. And
That was in Sydney.
Leon
so.
Has already has said prior. I DM'd him today saying, "Hey, can you come on the show?" He said, "Well, he didn't say yes straight away. He said,
had some limitations.
Hey, I just don't want to go into sort of the political side of the radio stuff because if you're within the local context." It's been very popular for radio personalities or
going
the
on
industry,
podcasts.
Going on podcasts and thinking that it's just some conversation that's not being recorded.
A lot of people just don't realise they're being recorded.
So it's a...
I'm happy to... I'm just talking about where I've come from, where I am.
Yeah, exactly.
And where you going?
I feel like... I was going to ask before. I was going to ask it over the 10 years. Has SEA ever lifted the pay freeze? Because when I was always told
pay
that
freeze.
It,
what's the pay? What's that?
Maybe that was just for me. I was told that I couldn't get a pay rise because
I've had a few.
It was for all the arrogant assholes trying to get on air didn't know their place.
They were paying you in content.
That was
so annoying. Give you an Instagram post and then you'll be.
I
happy.
Had a recruiter tell me. They said, "Look, if you prove yourself after the first 6 months." I asked for 10 grand for more than...
I think because you've been there for 6 months. As I said, I'm almost on 10 years. So I think I have the right to ask for that.
I was still a bit disappointed.
Okay, so we won't slander any past radio shows you've worked with. But now...
And then Tommy's got nothing. Can you hear Tommy's like, so?
I want to know then...
So I was at Triple M with Merrick.
Okay.
And then last week, I moved back to Melbourne to do the breakfast show on Fox FM.
All right, now I'm up to scratch. Because I lost you for a couple of years.
Yeah,
you were in Sydney, I was in Melbourne. I was in Sydney, you're in Melbourne.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
We literally did the opposite.
Yeah.
So now we're back together, best friends.
Yeah. Early mornings.
It's like the street team days.
Exactly right. I've got some cans of Coke.
Well, I'm actually drinking Diet Coke.
Yeah, I've got it's a Coke Zero.
Okay.
Which brings me to... Coke Zero versus Coke No Sugar, which was a bit of gear. Finally got a sponsor. Breakfast hours.
Mm.
How much does it fuck your life?
You know what? It doesn't for me much. Like I have massive FOMO. Mm. So I love going out. I go to a lot of gigs. I just like not being at home. And so I make sure that I still
What's
do
happening
that.
At home? Is something going on?
Sounds really...
Is everything okay? Really
you've got one of the best bar areas.
Yeah, exactly right.
In your apartment is what I was going to say.
Full bar,
unit.
Fully stocked.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
So I'm staying away from home to avoid that.
Yeah.
No, I don't nap heaps, but I try and get a little bit here and there. I go to bed 10 or 11, I'm up at 4.
You're outrageous. Like I need 9 hours. If I get less than 9 hours of sleep,
he's a princess.
Or 8 hours. So less than 8 hours, it's not ideal.
Yeah.
Well, that's hard to achieve when you are waking up at 4 a.m. for your breakfast.
I think you run on adrenaline for a few hours, and then you get busy after the show finishes, and then you get to 1:30, 2 o'clock, you're done.
So now you're EPing the show.
Yeah.
And for anyone who is thinking that. An EP role sounds really glamorous.
Mm.
What is your how long are you having to stay in at work?
It changes around. Like I get in at, you know, 4:45, scour the internet, look for ideas, and then the show's 6 to 9, and then you have meetings and action stuff that you need to do, and then you're usually out by like 1, sometimes 2 o'clock.
Mm.
It's a normal work day, but then you're just always monitoring. I'm constantly monitoring news, Twitter, anything like that, just for content afternoons to, you know, follow up the next day.
When I was in Shep, I felt like it was constant, even though you finish at like 12, 1.
It definitely is constant, but I feel like, I think regional must be a lot. I haven't done it, but I feel like it must be a lot. You haven't got as many people working with you. Like, we've
there's
got a pretty good team.
Two of us, mate, the two people on air.
I think including our on-air guys is about 10 of us.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone's sort of like looking at their right things. We've all got enough brains to bring content and...
I just remember watching Paul Dowsley do that job, like, and it's like it takes a certain like type of person to be able to just like be relentless. And he now does
Channel 7.
I feel like the
chasing that, leads and that sort of stuff.
It's the same sort of thing.
I love that as well. Like chasing when a big news story breaks, scouring Twitter, looking for Facebook, like finding your family, friends, and trying to get someone on the show to.
What's
talk
the
to?
Best get that you've gotten through all of that sort of stuff?
I once found, actually, my first producing job when I was on the Hot 30, the countdown show, I moved up to Sydney for that. It was when One Direction were just taking off and they were massive. And it was Twitter was big and I was just trying to find any angle to get, you to speak to anyone about them and, you know, you'd get, that's great content. And I tracked down, was it Zane? It was Zane's mum. Through like a lot of just searching around, looking on Twitter, found out that one of Zane's mum worked at the canteen at the school. So I stay back till 2 a.m. one morning till the canteen was open, called and said, oh, I'm just calling for this person. Got her on the phone and then convinced her to do an interview.
No.
Amazing.
Back
was
in the
she,
day.
Was she a nice lady?
She was like, you went to this effort. Yeah, sure, great.
And you told her. So what's the sell to her? How's that conversation
like, hey,
go?
I'm just from Australian radio station. Massive fan of your son. He's coming here soon to tour. Would love to, you know, hear about his childhood. And she was like, oh, sure, great.
Fuck, I wonder how removed they are from, you know, like he's amongst the fame. He's getting it. All the people around him are understanding that there's people coming from every angle. But, mate, I mean, she still works in a canteen.
That's it.
He's not funding her life on a yacht.
Yeah, exactly right.
So she's just thinking, oh, this is lovely.
That's the canteen on the yacht.
The canteen is just the name of the yacht. No, that actually just reminded me of the remember the producers conference that you would happen at.
Yes.
And I just remember it just popped up. I was doing some research for another guest, and Reese Maston's name came up.
Yes.
Man, do you remember Reese Maston?
Yeah.
Like, what's he doing? Like, is he like you're very much on top of
pop culture?
Pop
and stuff.
Culture.
Yeah, yeah.
What's it? What gig level is he doing now?
I think he's still working on music. I think he's doing a lot of writing, not so much performing. I think I know I've seen him around doing things, but
yeah.
I don't think they're commercial radio.
Is that the same as I'm currently building a business?
Yeah,
business
no, if you're freelancing.
Business hasn't taken off yet.
Yeah. Freelancing, yeah. Looking for freelancing, writing. Yeah. For all I know, he's writing a lot of songs for pop stars.
No, I'm not going to shit can him. But
I saw some people interviewing him recently from...
from our station. Yeah, that's the only
Lewis,
reason I think. Luke and Lewis.
Luke and Lewis.
Okay. Yeah. So it's all still fresh.
But I think they're playing on a bit of the fanboying on Reese Maston because he's not as, you know, prominent as he once was.
No.
But they still love
but
him.
But nor are they, so...
Yeah.
We've got to start somewhere.
We've got to come together, right?
If we're going to bring Reese down, let's get them all. Hey, who else we got?
No, Sam Kavanagh used to use, who was one of what was he called, Sammy? What is Sam's role now?
He's an executive producer.
Content guy.
Slash.
Content.
National. He can call himself whatever he wants.
But he's been at the forefront of some of the biggest shows.
Absolutely.
In the radio industry in Australia. But Sam was doing a prezzo and he would use Reese Maston. And have you seen this prezzo?
Well, no, so I remember Sam interviewed Reese and I think we took away from it like, oh, we need to, Reese was saying like, you need to give your fans a name. Do you remember this?
Yes.
So
well, it's like
One Directioners.
Directioners, Gaga has the Little Monsters.
Yeah.
Believers.
And so he was just saying, like, the key to all of this shit, like, just, you know, is to come up with a name for your fans.
I feel like it was. Was it Mastinators? No, I feel like it was something like that.
The Mastinators.
That's what
is
he wants
great.
Them to do. No, but he led the charge.
Wow. There's a real. I'm sorry, Leon. No. He really entered into a smut fest.
Mate, we don't have filters here. We don't have a radio boss to hold us down.
I do, but.
Not anymore.
Podcast killed the radio industry.
Talking about podcasting, I mean, people are talking about podcasting a lot now, but what would have been over a year ago now that you did your Am I Funny podcast?
Yeah, it was like a year, 2 months ago. Two weeks ago.
What inspired you to do it?
I was looking for something to do creatively outside of work. But in the same sort of industry, it's just something creative to work on. And I thought about maybe trying stand-up comedy because I was mates with a comedian, Justin Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And we'd been talking about it. And then I caught up with Sam Kavanagh for dinner once when he was up in Sydney. And
he's like, what's your audience name?
Was Reese Mastinator?
Mastinator's were over. Yeah, that's been taken. Yeah. So,
so sorry, Reese is calling, mate. Got a yard.
I told him I was thinking about doing comedy. But then I also was talking to him about podcasts and just sort of occurred to me. I was like, why don't I try and do the both and just do a bit of... It was essentially I gave myself a deadline to learn stand-up comedy and perform it.
And the show's called Am I Funny? Am I Funny?
Yeah.
Awesome. I loved it. Have I told you that?
No.
Well, this is a nice just told you that
there. Hurtful.
Tommy doesn't normally
I feel like
give
I've texted you and said I love the show or something.
Well, maybe you did. I got a lot of those texts.
He sort of was circle jerking.
It sounded like you were going to say, how am I funny?
How was he funny? How am I
funny? No, am I funny? Well, the thing is, it's the complete opposite of this podcast. Mm. It was
fully produced, scripted, you know. But the hard thing was I didn't realise that at the time, because I did it in real time, so I would learn things, but... you know, catalogue it during the week, but then put it all together in a scripted package each weekend whilst trying to still, like, learn comedy and plan a live stand-up show. Mm. And a few other hurdles got thrown in there in the meantime.
Like the one where there was the exact same show in New York.
There was that, but also, like, things came... Like, I was I was moving back down to Melbourne, but I couldn't talk about that publicly because it was a new contract and other people hadn't been moved yet, so... I was stressing about moving my life whilst trying to do this podcast and write stand-up comedy and had a bit of a breakdown.
Oh, really? What did the breakdown look like internally?
Like, is it just a panic attack, anxiety attack. Yeah. Just everything was overwhelming.
Fuck, isn't that the reality, though, for life when you're creating and you've come out the other side of having made it?
Yeah.
And it... did well and it was awesome and you did an amazing job and it's like, but it still has, that always happens. Like, I've found that things that I've had the most creative success with have been like fucking torturous in some respects.
Absolutely.
Hard and annoying.
Yeah.
I could have
this podcast with Josh.
it's like this trip that I'm going on. Like I leave in a week. No, but I'm like really anxious because I know that I've got this. It's that
you
thing.
You don't even know where you're going. How are you anxious?
I'd be anxious.
If I was three, I'd be anxious.
Well, it's that thing of like, I wrote on an index. One thing I found that really helped me was actually writing down what I need to do. You know, like, you just have no sense of what it is that I actually need to do before it gets to the end.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, how did you work out the podcast? How did you work out what you actually needed to get done?
Like storyboarding, planning. Mm-hmm. I'm a very, like, I love lists.
Yeah.
Like, I will list things I have to do, even, like, on the weekend. Like, I've got these things to do. I've got to catch up with that mate as well, or I'm going to this thing.
Mm-hmm. 7 beers.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I will go, great. In my producer mind, I'll go, how do I fit this all in? Mm-hmm. You know, it's with tasks. And same with this podcast. I looked at how many weeks it would look like.
Yeah.
And then
I thought you
were
talking about this podcast, as in doing this show. It's like, I worked out your reach. I worked out, and then how much I like you guys both. Yeah. Came up with a number, and I had 45 minutes.
But were you saying, Josh, that the reliever of the anxiety is you?
Yeah, do it. Like, writing the out process stuff. Of doing it, like the process of actually writing out, has helped me tremendously. Mm. Like, it's actually like, okay, I can actually place all of this stuff.
It actually relieves your anxiety a bit because you go, oh, it's just. once I do that, that pretty much covers that thing. And then I've got two other things to do and it's it. Like it, yeah, I think visualizing like that is a great way to do it.
And so you had a breakdown during the...
A little bit, like a couple of, I would call mild, I've never had them before, but I assume they'd be mild panic slash anxiety attacks where it was just, everything was overwhelming. I just wanted to be away from people. Like, you know, just, it was, yeah,
were you
it was
at work?
Overwhelming.
Where did they
I remember it was actually Anzac Day last year. Uh-huh. And my mates wanted me to go catch up with them. And I was like, oh, I need to do this other work and I need to write the podcast. And like just them texting going, why aren't you coming out? You know, doing
it's
this.
Never happened to me in my life. Well, yeah, go on.
But yeah, no, you're feeling the anxiety now, Josh, aren't you?
And I was in at work doing extra work plus the podcast stuff. And I just went, I need to go home. And my housemates were away and I was at home and... actually my ex-girlfriend at the time was like, I'll come over. And I was like, you know what? I can't just face seeing anyone right now. I'm just like overwhelmed by everything. Mm. So, yeah, but like a few hours later, it was kind of like, I actually wrote it out and I went, okay, there's a few things I need to do, but some of them are time sensitive. I'll be fine. I can just, yeah, visualize it.
It seems like, do you think it's the creative field is more likely to have mental health issues or like why is it that we're all fucked?
That's a very broad question to ask.
That's what we do here. Asking the broad
question. Why are we all fucked?
Now just riff on it.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of pressure these days. Mm. Pressure from everything. Time, work, everything. It's like...
Is it external pressure or is it pressure that we create ourselves?
I think this is... I created it myself because... Mm. I said, yeah, I'm going to do this podcast. Yeah. And the point of the podcast was I'd thought about doing comedy before and I was like, I'd always get to a point and go, nah, it's too hard. I'll just do it another time. But yeah. Publicly saying in 7 weeks on this podcast, you'll hear my stand-up comedy, whether it's good or bad, I'll do it. And so that set that limit of like, I have to do it.
Tommy has one of his awesome skills is being able to capture things in the moment, capture life as they happen. Mm. Whereas I really...
ABC, mate. Always be contenting.
Always be contenting.
I like that. ABC.
I've got the domain name allforcontent.com, which is sort of similar.
Up for sale, and if you want to buy it, make your offer.
I'm just throwing out the... Do you want it?
Isn't that Australian Federal Crimes? Oh, that's .org.
All for content.
No, all for content.
All for I've content.
Got AFC.
AFC is the Australian Federal Crime. That's probably .gov.au maybe.
Yeah. No, I've got...
Have you got that one as well?
To be clear, I don't have the acronym. I've just got allforcontent.com.
Oh, you can't buy any acronym websites anymore. They're all taken, aren't they? Well,
that's not how it works. I mean, you could have like a...
I could create my own acronym.
No, but like, 20, sorry.
You could have a 20-word...
I'll say it again.
Three-letter
acronym.
Yeah, three-letter websites
you can't quite get. Expensive. They're all done. All bought.
What the fuck was I just
talking
about?
So I capture stuff in the moment.
Oh, no, yeah. No, so so Tommy captures shit in the moment. I tried it. Bree and I went on a holiday to WA and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be a bit of a fucking vlogger. Recorded for like the first 2 minutes. I'm just like, this is too hard. How did you find when you were creating the podcast, all of that anxiety, the panic attack probably would have been the best bit of content you could have created.
Oh, yeah, it was actually.
Well, I mean, I would have...
Well, it was so real. Yeah. That was the thing. Like I think for me, and I'm always like this when I'm producing any sort of content, I know what I want to try and get. Like I'll go in somewhere going, yeah, I'm probably going to get something around that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to this comedy show, so I'm going to record my thoughts straight after what it was. And then sometimes things will pop up that you record. Because I hate just recording for hours and then going, what have I got?
Yeah. Well, the pop-up stuff I think is the hard bit, right? Because it's the, that's the stuff that can add something completely different. But it's also meaning that you might not be going necessarily the same way that you intended.
Pop-up meaning just the direction of something might change.
Those events that Leon was talking about.
Yeah, like one of the parts of the podcast is I originally aimed for 8 weeks, 8 episodes, and I booked the gig venue in, and then it wasn't until the week after or during that week, Sam Kavanagh, who was sort of co-producing it with me, he said, hey, I'm going to call you, record this call. And he called me and told me, you've booked the wrong date. That's a week earlier. I was like, fuck. My parents were already planning to come up. My sister was flying up. And I was like, I'm just going to have to do one less episode. And yeah, I'm doing it a week earlier. Like,
we've found the cause of the anxiety.
It's Sam. Also, Sam, every single time he's got bad news, mate, you might want to record this.
Yes.
I'm like, if this is about my nana passing away, I'm going to be really pissed off. Mate, just press record and see what happens.
It might be good.
Yeah, it might be really
good. We don't have to use it.
Yeah, it might be really good. Hey, Sam, how you going, mate? Nana's dead. I knew it.
But I was recording. Which is good.
It's all,
play this back
what,
at
the what eulogy. Is it, what is ABC again? What is it all about?
Always be contenting.
Where is that from? What's that a reference
I
of?
I feel like it might be...
Reese Maston said Reece, at the end of the comedy.
Yeah. I've never seen Reese Maston's
Your little contenters, hey. It's a bunch of my little...
I can't remember where that came from. I think it might have been... It could have been Dave Thorne, the comedian.
Yeah.
Mm. When I worked with him briefly in radio. And when he left, I gave him I made a mug. I think, yeah, he must have been saying it because I made a mug for him that said always be contenting on it. And every now and then I just get a text from him just holding up the mug saying, got a lot of content.
Man, I love Thorno. He was the one who, when I was thinking about quitting my job, was like, yeah, man, just do it.
He was look at you now.
Yeah, look at me now.
Was he in a job at that point?
Yeah, he was at the company that I was quitting. He's just like, yeah, you'll find something else. Go for it, man.
Well, I think you learn that always be contenting. When producing is like an amazing skill to have if you want to be a creator.
Yeah, totally.
Like I think drawing all the things, you know, you going to make this podcast.
Yeah.
It's like you're the talent, but you've also got the content chops.
Absolutely.
And understanding of it all.
Yeah.
And then so you made this show and how did you actually feel about, because it led up to you doing stand-up for the very first time.
Yep.
Fuck that.
Have you done it? I thought you would have done it.
No way. No
it's
way.
It's interesting. Have you done it?
I'll be honest.
But I could do it, is what he's about to say. I haven't, but I could.
No,
you were listening.
He wasn't. You were listening.
I never, ever multitasked, but I wanted to reference something on my phone. And I thought that maybe Tommy could have the conversation in the floor without me for a minute.
I didn't even ask you anything, Leon. Well,
sorry, back to your phone.
What was the question that I want to bring up this phone thing?
The question was, have you done stand-up? I thought you would have done stand-up.
No, I've watched stand-up.
Okay.
It's not the same
thing.
That's
a reference.
I owned a Carl Barron DVD. No.
It's very like 90s mainstream comedy.
Yeah, well, I was going through all my DVDs. I had.
Did you have any more comedy DVDs?
Yes.
Yes. Did you have Jim Owen?
No, but Mum and Dad did. But then Mum.
Scared with Little Guys?
Never had Steve.
Umbilical Brothers?
No.
Okay. And
Arj Barker?
Yes.
Yeah. Got it.
Arj Barker, my favorite line, I'm never going to forget it, was. It was a...
Do the accent.
No, I can't do the accent. Was he Canadian? Is he Canadian?
Yes. Still with us.
still with us. Until Sam gives us the call. He said, mate, got news on Arj. Might want to record this. Sam Cav is getting so many shout-outs.
Sam,
so
we'll get you on
We need
soon.
To get him on.
He wouldn't do this.
I've asked Josh before, does he think he's funny? Of course I do.
Yeah.
He thinks he's funny.
No, but
The way you talk to me, then you're like, okay, I'm surprised you haven't done stand-up.
Oh, you're just very confident. You're very confident. I feel
it's
like you would do it just because you go,
I'm funny.
Yeah.
Not both.
No, I don't think Tommy's that funny.
Well, but no, I don't feel like I'm funny. I have fun.
Mm.
And you and I have had heaps of fun. We laugh heaps when we were together.
Yeah.
I didn't think that you, that would, I didn't know that that was somewhere you were
I've always,
wanting
I don't think
go.
I always want to do it. I don't think I'm a massive comedy nerd, big comedy fan, whether it be stand-up, movies, radio, TV, all that sort of stuff. But I'd always just been really intrigued about it and I'd seen enough stand-up comedy. I used to go to the Melbourne Comedy Festival just all the time and go to heaps of shows when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And I started to get to the point, I was like, oh, this is, I kind of understand how this works.
Mm.
I just never had the guts to apply it to... actually doing it.
And how did you feel when you actually did the stand-up?
The stand-up. I was so relieved afterwards. Like, it was a blur up there. But, like, it was this weird thing where, it was... I remember that they said, oh, we've got a light in the back of the room. Because I never knew this, that when you're on stage, you've got 5 or 7 minutes. Whatever. They give you a time. And usually they flash a light in the background when you've got 2 minutes and then, like, flash it again when you're... got 1 minute.
I've heard a torch, like some on the real sort of smaller open mics, they have like a torch. It's like
the
LED ones that you get from the servo.
There's different types, those sort of things. Yeah. But like I couldn't even focus on anything. I was just blindly getting it all out.
And so how long was the set for? Is that what it's called? A set?
Yeah, about 6 minutes, 7 minutes.
That's not bad. I've only got one bit that I think is good enough for a stand-up. Because I've wrote down, in case I one day am interesting enough to have a memoir, I've got a few ideas, but I'll tell you one very quick story and then you can laugh if it's funny.
Yeah.
No, I bought a domain name the other day.
This actually, are you adding the Seinfeld theme in post? Or you-
people have said that when anything that I, and I think this happens across the board, anything that is funny, Seinfeld's probably like come up with, like any observational shit is basically done at all. Yeah. But this involves domain names, so maybe not. internet.
No, I'm aware of that, yeah.
I bought the domain name offthegrid.com. No, yeah. I actually did.
Yeah, no, that's...
Actually, it's not... You know what? It's only funny within the context of...
Oh, that
just,
was the joke. Sorry, I forgot that you were actually trying to do some stand-up.
So the joke is I bought Off The Grid and I was like, couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And this is a true story. Mm. This is what's annoying, because it's a true story and it's really funny because it's true.
Yeah.
But it might not be funny if it was just a fake story. No, but I bought offthegrid.com. My heart was beating. I thought it was a really great domain name. And Bree's looking at me like, oh, I don't know if this is going to translate.
And so supportive.
No, I got the improv during the set.
I got the email that it was all confirmed. I'd purchased it and I'd bought offthegird.com. See, it doesn't have the same.
Depends
sort of
at where you're doing a domain name conference. I've got to say,
yeah, it's good specific niche gear.
I told Dr. Jason Fox, who we had on, told him on the weekend in the car, it got some good serious laugh. Belly laughs.
I mean, you're in a car, you have to. Yeah, there's there has the to be a response. Of,
yeah. I was driving.
He was scared.
So, it's all the delivery.
So maybe that was part of it.
So do you think you're funny? I guess the.
I reckon I think I can do it. Like it was
like, and you wasted our time with a whole podcast. Spoiler alert.
I think it takes a massive skill, but a lot of practice. I could probably do it a bit more. I haven't done it since. I keep saying I'm going to, but I probably need another podcast to do it.
Yeah.
Am I still funny?
I mean, what I'm getting out of this is I'm feeling a bit more confident that maybe I could do stand-up.
I think absolutely. Most people can.
Because maybe you don't need to essentially think that you're a funny person.
The thing that really turned the corner for me was someone told me, a comedian told me that it's just, you know when you go to a pub and you're talking to your mates and you've got...
No.
Yeah, he's excluding you from the conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
You've probably got classic stories of things that happened to you. And you tell that story and then when you meet new people, they go, oh, tell them that story. And you tell that story. But you remember the last time when you told it, you got a few reactions and you go, yeah, there's a few parts I told that story really well. You remember the way to tell that story, or you go, oh, maybe that was a bit flat there. It's just telling that story. If you tell those stories enough...
Yeah.
You know the points where the laughs are going to be.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of broadening that to an audience.
And being doing aware enough of it
what
too.
Sticks.
Because you can have one funny joke.
Yeah.
But you can't, if we've learned anything from Off The Gird, you can't build a career off it.
There's a comedian, Nat Harris. She told me.
Another fellow street teamer. Shout
she's
out to
another
Nat.
Street teamer. She
we should
said,
get her on, but Tommy's been mentioning her.
She's great.
She's a legend.
She told me when you're getting up there, don't stress about being funny. Just be interesting.
Mm.
Like you want to get their attention, engage them, and if they're sort of comfortable and listening to you and enjoying it, they'll naturally just laugh or enjoy it as well.
Yeah, you sounded like you were having a good time, and you heckled someone in the crowd or something, didn't you? Or you were drinking a beer?
Oh no, yeah, I got such dry mouth halfway through. I just said, guys, I've got really bad dry mouth. If you could all just round of applause for a second while I take a drink, just to pad that time, because I did not want. And that was spur of the moment thing. And I think it was Will Anderson or Justin Hamilton later on said that was the cockiest thing I've ever seen. I was like, I genuinely couldn't talk. And I didn't want to watch people just watch me drink.
No, I think it's...
It's constant failing. Like, there's such an opportunity to fail in those moments.
Totally.
And so I...
And, like, shamefully fail. Yeah. Like, when you get off that stage, you're there in the room still. There's no, like, site. Like, these small comedy rooms, there's no backstage. It's like, you walk up from the crowd and then you get off and you walk it back out through the crowd.
I think that would be my problem would be going into a shtick, like going into a place.
There's
where
that word
like
again.
The shtick. I love shtick.
Yeah,
but it's that whole trying to protect yourself by playing some sort of character. Did you feel like you were playing?
Yeah, that's, again, I was lucky with the podcast. All these comedians give me advice just to do not put on a character unless that's what you're really trying to do. Yeah. A character. Because then if you are, how would you react as that character? You have to think about all those things. How you react as that character? How would that character say this? Whereas I was just, yeah, be yourself. Unless you're going, I'm doing it like a, you know, Chris Lilly style character.
It almost has the stench. Oh, stench is such a bad word. The stench of a rebrand. I've recently gone through a rebrand.
Yeah.
Have you noticed?
I like the glasses.
Thanks.
They're good. Go Steve Jobs-esque.
The hair isn't fully rebranded at the moment because I only paid $15 at Just Cuts on Elizabeth Street. Go on.
Is that another sponsor you've got on board?
Exactly, Just Cuts.
$15.
Mate, Grant Daniels is the face of them, isn't he?
Is he?
I think he is. I've seen him in the window.
Maybe his best cuts.
No, he's quick
Wait,
cuts.
Wait, hang on, is there two different? Is it Just Cuts?
There's Just Cuts, Best Cuts, and there's another Cuts. I can't remember that Cuts. But no, I did see I saw Grant Denyer.
Best Cuts.
I think it may have been Best Cuts. It was in Doncaster.
Where were you going with the rebrand?
Sorry, go on, rebranding.
No, in regards to doing the whole comedian thing, did you feel like that was an active, was that a go at a rebrand? Was it, okay, I'm going to become potentially the comedian?
No, I don't want to become a comedian. I think it's something, I still write down comedy now, notes, but I just don't perform it. It's quite therapeutic to write out these things. One day I might, I don't know. But like,
you essentially write a diary.
Well, it's really funny though.
Leon's funny diary.
When we first met Leon, it was probably the time when I wanted to be a presenter. But I know what you mean. It's like, at what point do you come out and go, I'm a presenter, or I want to be a presenter? Are you saying that's like you're leading with this thing that you're putting out to the world, I'm going to be a stand-up comedian?
Well, you had
comedian.
Yourself as a digital, Tommy had on his Twitter bio, digital personality.
That was years later.
Huh?
That was years later that I changed that. That wasn't...
Yeah, but you only changed it like a few weeks ago.
No, but I think when the time I'm talking about, as in the rebrand...
Well, you have different versions of rebrand. So I had my rebrand, and then I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to do the hair, I can't have the neck beard. You can't half-ass.
That's your rebrand.
You can't half-ass a rebrand. And so you learn these things where it's like, this thing that I actually did only works on the previous version.
I think it was a rebrand for me. It was more like it's kind of like a hobby, not a hobby, like a. Mm-hmm. An extreme sport. Yeah. It was like trying skydiving.
Well, you had one of the biggest rebrands. You texted me a few.
I was wondering if you were tiptoeing around that.
No, I'm not tiptoeing around it. I just wanted a seamless fucking, what's that called?
Segway.
And Tommy just said, you know, you're coming out. And I'm like, here we go. Should I stuff in there?
Yeah.
So I was texting Leon. Well,
is all that chat going to be cut just to get to this part?
Exactly.
The real meat on the bones.
It's all going to this. No, but I remember.
We'll leave the Reese Mastin bit in.
That was a big part of. Yeah.
We weren't planning on. What's going on, Bree? Do you need to go? Does anyone want a chai?
Yeah, don't talk for me. I'd love a chai. We're just having. I'd love a chai
actually,
latte.
You know what? I'll have a chai.
We'll have a couple of chai lattes. I'll take a soy chai latte. Thanks, Bree.
Just
a
normal. It's fine
for me. Can I have a flat white, maybe, please? Right. They do have almond milk now. You can pay on full.
This is where you could have played the song.
Yeah. I told Bree, as soon as I say, get awkward with the coming out bit, ask for coffees, ask for chais. No, Bree said, I'll get him a coffee. I said, no, he's buy-back. Get him a chai. He needs a chai. I got a text from Leon. Basically, you were having a drinks for your birthday.
Yeah.
And there was clearly the point where you're like, oh, fuck, Josh is going to rock up to my birthday drinks. I'm going to have a boyfriend. And so...
gone through my mind so many times with so many different people recently.
It's like, I just don't want Josh to be like, I could just imagine Leon's mind.
Two awkward things.
Oh, Josh is one.
No, yeah, and drinks.
Well, the biggest compliment I got was he thought that I was going to rock up to the drinks. Leon was at the gym basically, and he was like, "Hey mate, can we have a phone chat?" Basically, and then you said it's taken me a while to work it out, but I'm bi. And then you've gone through because I'd said you said you had some news. I said, "Are you going to be a dad?"
That's exactly what my mum said.
You said not a father. What was it like? What's that whole process been like?
It's been really weird, but like fine.
It's not another podcast, is it?
Yeah, this is all.
Am I straight? I'll give you a spoiler alert. No, it's been weird. It's just such a weird thing. It was a long time coming. Like I dabbled when I was younger, and
long
I thought,
time coming is a great title for
long
your
time
memoir.
Coming is
yeah,
good.
Yeah, exactly.
I dabbled when I was younger and just didn't really like it. And I also think maybe that was just like part of the growing up in the suburbs and everyone, not many people. I didn't know anyone really that was gay or bi or anything
in
like
Lilydale.
That. In Lilydale, out in the burbs, and then it always sort of like I'd had girlfriends and I attracted to girls and I'd see attraction to guys, but I'd never really act on it. And then there'd been times when I had, and then it wasn't until the same sex marriage vote stuff was coming through, and everyone
classic
was sort
band
of
wagon jumping. If I've ever seen it,
well, it seems in. I'll try this.
Yeah, exactly.
But then, it's like, colourful. I was just it's seeing seeing people I grew up with in the suburbs posting "I'm voting yes" and stuff on their social media. I was like, oh, I actually think like they're sort of quite accepting and stuff. And I'd mentioned to a few of my close friends that I'd hooked up with dudes, and then I remember speaking to one of my friends who was bi. She had been dating a chick for quite a while, and then she recently went back to a guy, and she realized she thought she was a lesbian, and then she went, oh, I think I'm, you know, my sexuality is quite fluid, and I'm with a guy now. And I'd never really thought about that, and went, maybe that's what I am. And then the big day came where I changed my Tinder to guys and girls and just doubled all my options.
Is that how it works? Is that how it works? When it comes to Tinder and showing you males and females, is it sort of a 50? Do they go one for one?
No, I think, I don't know actually how that works.
I mean, it's a good question.
It's
isn't
a very good
it?
Question.
Or could you be like...
I think it just depends on... It depends on how many people there are on. It doesn't go one guy, one girl. It's just random, I assume.
Because the thing with...
That's an interesting question. How are they doing the ratio?
Yeah, I wonder or, like, I'm just curious about, like, from a mind point of view, how, like, does some time, like... One question I feel like a lot of people would sort of like, are you bi or is it just this transition to being gay?
Yeah, it is actually. Sometimes I'd thought, shit, it would be so much easier if I was just gay. Because it still is that confusing thing of like, so I've been dating a guy for like 8 months now, I think it is. And he's gay and he's only just come out as well.
Yeah.
And so that we kind of bonded over that sort of thing. But there was a few times where he's like, are you sure you're not gay? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Like right now I am because I've got a boyfriend, but like I'm still very attracted to girls and I've had relationships with girls in the past. And
I'm feeling his insecurities because when you're with a girl who is a straight girl, she might look at other guys, but now there's the other 50% of the population.
Yeah.
So it's like...
I can look at both.
You got the point.
Who are you looking at? You can't look anywhere.
Do it feel like a bit of a switch? Like how does it work? Like using the Tinder example, if we're doing a bit of user experience testing, would I... If I was working for Tinder, would you suggest that I guy and girl switch between it, or would you like a selection where tonight I feel like dating?
I don't know. For me, it doesn't really feel like it's just person to person. I think.
Yeah. Like it's probably personality. You know, like that's such a big part of it too, right?
Well,
it's like,
that,
do I actually like this person?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
I think the complexity, like you said, is like people want to know. Want to put you, and I think it's okay that people want to put you in a place where they understand you.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's gay or straight or...
That's it. I think a lot of people don't understand.
Too fucking confusing.
That's it. Well, what do you mean? Like, and I feel
greedy,
like...
Greedy, you're being
that's
greedy.
It. I've got
that's
a lot of that. But then, yeah, I don't know. It's a hard one to, especially with like, so telling my parents was kind of weird because I was like, fuck, do I have to explain what bi is to them? Do they know what that is?
Yeah.
And
they're like, yeah, we do it at Big W. No, not lay-by, mum. I haven't lay-by'd.
And what was their response?
It was great. They were both really supportive. Dad more so. Like, I thought Dad would be, because Dad's, like, pretty blokey into his cars. You know, we don't talk. Like, we talk, we catch up when we catch up. Mm-hmm. He never calls me and we chat or anything. Like, mum and I do. But, yeah, like, he was great. Mum was great as well. But the next day, Dad called me. And I was like, oh, no, what's Dad calling me for? Someone died.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's just like...
Sam
just,
Cav's on the line.
Sam, get ready to record this. It's like, just checking in how you are after the news. And I'm like, yeah, I'm great. Thank you. Yeah. But, like, yeah, really great. My sister... I went to a phase where I was starting to feel comfortable with friends. And I'd be drunk and I'd go, who can I text and just tell? Just because then I wake up the next morning and go, oh, that's done. It's easy. Like, just because the inhibitions are gone, you know.
It's the ultimate rebrand.
Because I end up tweeting the day that the legislation passed, I was at a gig that night and I was a bit drunk and I thought, fuck it, I'm just going to tweet it. Because I know a lot of my friends aren't on Twitter, like my close friends.
Yeah.
And it was just a good way to just do it. And then I got so much people retweeting and tweeting because that day was full of support for everyone.
Mm.
And then I think my sister's friend followed me on Twitter and told my sister. My sister called me and was like, is there something you want to tell me? And I was like, yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
I clearly don't check Twitter because you didn't tell me until January or something.
It's that hard thing where, and now I'm still in that phase where there's a lot of people I haven't caught up with for a while. And if I'm bringing my boyfriend Ian along, I just hate doing that introduction straight away.
Mm.
This is my boyfriend, by the way.
The feelings there. I mean, for me, I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah.
And did you think that I would know? It's your news. It's not like some fucking...
Oh, maybe. Because I remember telling Sam Kavanagh, that was a great experience. But I just assumed, I was
what does that mean?
it was just really funny. I was drunk
and
we were driving back from a gig and there's a few of us in the car and two of them got out and I was like, oh, I'm going to go to a bar and meet someone else. And I was going to meet the guy I was seeing.
Yeah.
And he goes, who are you meeting? And I was like, I'm going to tell you now, I suppose. And we're in an Uber and I felt so sorry for this Uber driver for this moment happening.
This is great.
I was in the back and Sam was in the front. And I was like, well, I'm bi. And he's like, what? And we were both a bit drunk. And I was like, yeah, I've started trying to see dudes as well. And he was like, hang on a minute. Ask the Uber driver to pull over so we can get in the back and have a proper conversation. Uber driver. But I assumed I'd told enough people that would all filter back and then...
Yeah. I guess my question in asking that was, are you thinking when you are seeing someone like me, other than you probably knew would talk about it, but it's I wonder if they know and do I have
there
to
is a bit
tell
of that sometimes.
Like,
it is there
is anxiety
a bit of that sometimes.
Around that?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you reckon the panic attacks were at all connected to this, like trying to discover what was going on in your head? Or
I don't think at that time I was kind of
give
okay
the bloke a break. He's
it.
Fucking about to do stand-up comedy.
No, I actually thought about that because I had a girlfriend at the time, and I hadn't spoken about it with my girlfriend, but. That wasn't really playing on my mind because the stress for me was that I was moving away and I just was not sure if long distance would work.
So it sounds like alcohol has played a part in helping you deal with shit in the sense of
It kind of has, which is I'm not promoting it, but
it's known as a social lubricant.
Absolutely. And lube you right up. Not like that.
There we go. I'm just trying to think of the headlines. This is going to be... I was thinking we can do you a service. This can be... if we can get this out far and wide enough, then
it's
you
don't have
to tell...
It's very cocky that a lot of people are listening to this.
I don't think that they will, but I think...
a lot of people might be hearing for the first time.
I'm going to call Leon Sjogren is now bi as the headline. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, for sure.
Actually, I feel like bi is too far in the headline, so we have to go... bisexual Leon question mark. it's putting the sort of not burying the lead. We don't want to
looking for the clickbait option with his
name. You have to sit through a lot of shit to get to this, don't
they? Exactly. They're like Reese Maston.
Put in the show notes.
That's all ABC. ABC. Always
be contenting.
Are you thinking that people have a lot of questions for you? Is that something that goes through your head?
Sometimes. I think with bi as well, I feel like it's a... I feel like being homosexual for a while was a lot of people had questions, and now it's very common.
Well, there's been a lot more thrown into the mix. I had a 16-year-old work experience kid in here for a couple of months, and she was telling me about some of her friends, pansexual.
What's a pansexual?
I have some of those questions about some of those things. And that's the thing, I'm not into that culture at all really either. I'm not really across all that. Maybe I should be, but...
I don't think you have to be. I don't know if that's how...
study
didn't
up.
Didn't even go to bloody uni for this, guys. Did you hear that? Leon just fucking jumped into it without going to uni.
Got a scholarship.
Exactly. No, you got a doctorate. You got the honorary doctorate?
Honorary degree,
exactly.
Yeah, fuck, if it doesn't make it more confusing with all these new labels, feeling what you are feeling is...
It's confusing as hell. And it's stupid. It's weird to think... maybe this could have been me from early on, since I was like, I reckon it would be 19 or 20 when I, and but I think, yeah, maybe that's just, I don't know. Well, here I am now.
And so how have you reconciled it all from back in sort of December when you were sort of going out hard versus now?
What did I say?
What
do you mean coming out? No, going out hard.
Oh, did I say going out? I meant coming out.
Coming out.
Yeah. Coming out hard.
I thought you just meant he was out drinking a lot.
Yeah, he was doing that
still
too.
Still am.
thank you, Breezer, for the chives and the flat white. I'm always cautious. I don't like soy milk, so I'm always cautious.
She's just been out during the most important part. Have you got any questions?
So just Leon,
listen back.
Leon's by. If you missed that bit.
If you missed it.
And Reese Maston is still... Leon nearly spat his coffee out then. Have a sip.
While you're looking at me.
Thank you, Breezer. So when from December to now, you've had the time to sort of reflect and maybe get to a slight amount of normality in regards to, what's the difference? What does it feel like?
It's a good question. I don't know. I think maybe is that less of that anxiety of, fuck, have I seen this person in a while? Do they know? Should I tell them? Because I don't want to have any of that social awkwardness of that. For that example, for you turning up to a drinks and me introducing my boyfriend and you going,
wonder what I would have done.
But it's more so I don't want to make other people feel awkward.
Yeah.
I'm pretty self-deprecating. That's it.
Yeah, you're a pretty jokey guy. So it's like, I feel like in that moment, I would have... The funny thing is that over text, it was like perfect.
A lot of people didn't believe me over text. Yeah. I was just joking.
No, but I thought it was good. Like, I think over text, over phone, or even just like you and I having a conversation... At a party, it would be a hard one because I would feel. I would get hives. I feel like I get like anxious hives. I feel like in that moment I'd get hot because I'm I don't know. Like I want to be. I don't give a fuck, and I'm like supportive, and I don't mind. But am I like, is there some sort of joke that's going on that I'm not? That you know what I mean? Like
it's an awkward. It's so many. You don't want to offend people, and it's just a really awkward one.
Like, any weird ones?
So I was just thinking then. My boyfriend Ian is from Scotland. He moved here over a year ago, and he's the same. He's gay, but he had not come out. He came out to like one or two people, and then when he was over here, he sort of went through that same phase of just going, "Yeah, I'm going to start telling a few people."
Mm. And good for a rebrand when you go overseas.
Well, that's it, you know, starting a new country.
Mm-hmm. You and me,
yeah.
So we met on Tinder, and we went on a few dates.
What was your Tinder bio? Do you feel the need when you're on Tinder to say, hey, I'm
bi? I did. I think newly bi, still
newly bi.
Early days.
Get connected with anyone you knew that would have known? Or had you already told people at this time?
No, I hadn't told many people. And that was for me another step of like, well, if they see me and they're looking for guys.
Sure.
They would probably either understand or, you know, reach out and chat or whatever. Mm. But so we connected. I still remember our first date. We were both so paranoid. Me just specifically, I was just like, all right, so if we bump into anyone we know, we're mates. We met at Glastonbury last year, the music festival.
You told him this?
No, we both sort of agreed on like a cover story. It was so weird.
You had each other's backs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's always the start of a good relationship, having each other's back.
Absolutely. And then I think, so we dated for a little bit and then it was kind of weird because a few people I knew. Otherwise, we were just sort of like, you know, mates hanging out. And then it was his birthday and he had a few mates from Scotland and England because he's a doctor, so a lot of the doctors and that are over here. He invited me to his birthday dinner, so it was like six of us. And it was five of his mates and me, just a mate he met at Glastonbury last year. And they had no idea that,
Well,
that's the thing. It was a perfect cover story.
It was a good cover.
It was a great cover story because... that's how we connected. His photo was him at Glastonbury, the music festival.
Amazing.
And, so we're sitting there at this dinner and it was him, his best friend who he told, his housemate, and then like four or five other mates. And they had no idea. And I was just some mate that I met at Glastonbury and then happens to be in Melbourne where he moved.
And how did you feel?
That was really quite awkward.
Mm-hmm.
That was like...
Because you were like...
Covering all my... Cause I was a bit more okay with it at that time and he hadn't told them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was more, for his sake, just being careful of what I was saying and my covering my backstory and all that sort of stuff.
Well, I mean, what could you have said? It's like, you know, when we fucked the other... Oh, shit.
Yeah, you're not going to
I did
there.
It. I
yeah.
said it. what are some of... Like, what is the actual internal monologue? Like, what are the things that we wouldn't just think of that you're actually thinking about that you can't necessarily say?
Well, this is now or at that point when I was like wasn't telling people?
You're at the dinner. There's six of you and you're Leon, the mate. Because in some regards, it's like that whole thing of like, don't overthink it. You're just a mate. But clearly, there's going to be that thing of like, well, if I say this, is that going to sound too intimate? Or what is the reality?
It's all those little things. I can't think of a specific... Yeah. It's all those like, why are we still mates? Why are we hanging out in Melbourne still? All that sort of stuff.
We've talked a bit about a movement around radical honesty. Have you heard of this? Mm-hmm. So it's like there's these groups that get together in a circle and they just throw out these, you know, things they've been hiding or keeping behind.
I hate Josh.
And they one-up each other.
Sorry, you're aware of that.
Nothing radical.
But there is something liberating about telling your truth or being honest. Did you find, and I guess for anyone who's going through something where they haven't talked about it, was there like a progression of power or a feeling
it is that,
inside?
I think it is that, and I assume it's with a lot of people when they come out, like it's relief. I feel like, you know, a lot of people come out and they, here's a Facebook post and like it's just bang, a lot of people, you know, at once get that sort of thing. It felt, for me, it was just scatters of things here and there. Like my closest friends I told a year ago that I, you know...
More sort of micro content. You're going for sort of the micro content strategy.
Yeah, I didn't want a big spike. I just want, you know, a good long story arc.
Yeah, and then you can do a big sort of... Yeah, ABC, do a big... But I actually said to you in the... One of the first things I wrote back was if I could have your the coming out exclusive.
Did you really?
Yeah, I literally...
I didn't even remember this. You've got it. Fuck, damn it. Didn't even talk money.
Exactly. Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm shy of Chocolate Frog.
No, mate, that's the best. I said, congrats, that's so exciting. You've found someone. Who's your BF? I was going to ask if I can have the exclusive coming out video on my channel. Oh, that was my YouTube when that was a thing. The exclusive coming out video on my channel, as they do great YouTube on YouTube.
You
have a YouTube channel.
I think they're saturated by that now, I think.
Yeah, it would have to be...
if I go back in and just go, no, I'm straight again.
Yeah. You know what I'm hearing, though, is he messages you because imagine what your response to him on text message. Imagine if you found out in the moment at a pub when people are drinking.
Absolutely.
How weird would he go?
I would be pretty weird. But I think the thing is, like, there's a... my point, like, that reaction is exactly what I'd say. Like, that is actually the reaction. It's like... It's that thing, right, where you can be like, oh, you can get all tiptoe, like get all weird.
Yeah.
And I'm like, actually, like, how am I actually, like, what am I, this is Leon. Leon hasn't changed. Like,
yeah. And that's the thing for me. I don't think I've had any negatives or anything it's felt a bit weird.
Yeah.
Which is so, it's weird to think. That's the whole thing stopping people doing it. It's like, people are going to think of you differently.
Well, I think it's
which
also.
I still think they do a bit, but I also go, but I don't think I've changed much.
But it's also not knowing like how to communicate it or what it even means too.
Well, that's it.
It's like
I've never even thought about that sort of idea. I was like, for me, it was always like, oh, it's probably just one or the other. Because a lot of people do think, oh no, it's just, you're just saying bye because you're not ready to admit you're gay. And I was like, I would happily admit that if I was. I just, I don't think I feel 100% towards one gender.
I wonder if it's the same in a straight heterosexual relationship. Is that what you say? Fuck, I'm not across there. A straight relationship.
Straight relationship, yeah.
Straight relationship. When it's like, are we official or not official? I wonder if there's a feeling from your boyfriend that's like, I need you to say you're gay so that we can...
Well, he's bi anyway, first of all.
No, but... boyfriend's saying, no, I need you to say
you're
gay.
So I need to take that step across and
because
then...
Because you're leaving all these chicks on the table out there.
Yeah.
And
well, not all though. Come on, not that.
Don't...
All of them.
Sorry, I was going to call. Yeah, no, and we spoke about that, and he's fine. But like, it's, you know, I think a lot of people it would be an issue. Like, it would, like as you said, make your mind up. I was like, well, I have, I've chosen you as a person, not
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, fuck, in 10 years' time,
he's a doctor. a Scottish doctor. I've won. I'm a jackpot. Yeah, I know. That's a jackpot.
I thought when you said that. Shit. 10 years' time, 15 years' time. This, like, these semantics around these things won't even exist anymore, right?
Yeah, they're disappearing. So
it's fucking awesome, dude.
Do you look back at the how you've lived your life previously, and how do you sort of reconcile that? What does that feel like?
It doesn't feel any different. Like, I don't think me, if I'd come out as bi earlier, I don't think I'd be in any different life.
Do you think that you, I feel like there's some people who I've met who have come out later in life and they've almost been sort of the one to say, oh, geez, that's a bit gay, or they play up sort of the antagonist to sort of homosexuality.
Yeah.
Do you think that there was any of that you were like a desire to go into bro-ish culture or anything like that, or try and be more like something else?
More like a lad. Trying to,
yeah.
I don't like think a lad. So. I've always been pretty true to myself, and I don't really adjust to make it any different. Yeah. It's just a different label now, I suppose.
I mean, there's no thought. This is a thing, right? It's like, for me, it's like, I've never once thought anything about your sexuality.
Yeah.
And I think to people that, you know, when you're straight, they're not thinking about it. When something comes up, then people think about it.
Totally.
It is a bizarre, and that's just culturally from growing up. Like, I remember using gay a lot when I was a kid. And I'm sure you fucking did too.
Yeah, probably did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's only because
Leon's like, I probably did. Whoa, bro.
Whoa.
That's why I said you probably
we've all
did.
Said it.
We've all done it.
Yeah.
I remember being in I was 16 and I was getting a lift back from a party in Coburg from a friend of mine's dad. And there was three of us in the car. And her dad was driving. And if you've ever heard a gay man, like, you know, how someone would put on a gay person's voice.
Yeah.
Not that that's...
Doing a
stereotypical...
Offensively stereotypical voice.
Offensively stereotypical gay voice. That was him. And I knew his ex-wife because they weren't together.
Yep.
And he's gay. And I said to her, and I was 16 and I was probably fucking a bit rude, I said to her, hang on, so you're telling me you never thought he was gay? And she said to me, no, he was from Europe. I just thought he had an accent.
From Europe.
That's
was
what
from
she
Europe.
Said to me. But I look back on that, it's like, that's
offensive to two different things there now.
Exactly.
That's such a young kid being offensive to this lady, but it was quite a funny answer.
That's all you have to say when you're introducing your boyfriend now. He's just from Europe.
Well, he is.
It's the perfect cover story. Yeah. Well, I'm off to Europe. Nothing in that, everyone.
Can we finish a bit off this topic? The time that you interviewed a guy, I think it was a guy or a girl, who... Because you had another podcast.
I had another podcast. You know, and
this is my favourite podcast.
This is the thing. I had a podcast that was... so successful way before podcasts were. It would have been 9 years ago. And we had a huge following.
What was it called again?
It was called The Boardroom.
The Boardroom with Jackie.
Bron, Steph.
Yeah. You used to use the Nothing's Fucking Changed, using the SEA, all the studios and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all employees of the company.
Yeah, perfect.
And it was essentially, once a week, we'd all come with one topic, and usually it would be something that's a bit, you know, controversial or just a bit filthy, and there'd be absolutely no limits. And we did the podcast for a while, and it got to the point where literally we had a client get on board. Sexyland was paying us.
Amazing. That's right.
To give out, it was when 50 Shades of Grey was first popular, to give out like little mini dominatrix kits to listeners who would write us the filthiest erotica.
Man,
that's so good.
And there was one.
There was one episode which
The dolphin.
This is again.
Just
back
let
to,
him say it.
Back to when we.
I got really excited because I'm like, I remember it. This is.
I'm not sure how much you'll be editing of the podcast, but you
none of it.
Zero.
Full. Okay, so this goes back to when I loved chasing guests. Going, I'm going to track down this person and get them on the show. I'd read this weird clickbaity article about a guy that released a book and I thought I read the article and I thought this can't be real, but I found his name and thought I'm gonna do some searching and see if I can get him on the show.
Did he work in a canteen with Zane's mum?
His name is Malcolm J. Brenner.
Yeah.
And he released an ebook called Wet Goddess: Recollections of a Dolphin Lover.
And what is that?
Deconstruct this man it. Had a 6-month sexual relationship with a dolphin at SeaWorld in San Diego in the 80s.
Unbelievable.
The author did?
The author did, yes. So it was his retelling of that one summer.
Wow.
No one's optioned it for a film yet, which is weird. But it's pretty remarkable. He was so blasé about how he spoke about it in detail. Like, and I, we were asking questions that were, it's like, has it got anything to do with the blowhole? Or?
Yeah, well,
it was hilarious. So one of the things that stood out for me, this 9 years ago or 8 years ago that I listened to it, was when he said, you can't make a 200 or 300 pound creature have sex with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's actually a fucking good point. Because it was all around the dolphin wanted to have sex.
Hashtag rape culture.
Yeah. I've just got a photo of him up for you.
Oh, holy moly.
Hell.
We'll put a link to this.
Malcolm
in the show
J. Brenner.
Can we put a link to your podcast? Is still available. Is the podcast still out?
No. Well, here's the other thing is a boss heard that from the company and said, look, the podcast, not that interview. There was some stuff on there that was just a bit filthy and, you know. And he said, look, it's very funny. I love that you're doing something creative.
Yeah, yeah. Start with a positive.
But if someone took that and, you know, print it in black and white, out of context, it could be pretty offensive. So we may have to stop it.
Yeah. That's so sad. So how many episodes did you do?
I reckon about 30-something, 40-something.
How do you feel looking back?
I still listen to them every now and then, and they're fucking funny.
Yeah.
One day I will just release them for the sake of releasing them again.
Wait, so you took them all down?
We had to take them all down, yeah.
Well, you might lose your job soon after this interview.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
I will sell those episodes back. Exactly.
Perfect. I'm still spewing that there wasn't a pay freeze at all, and I was just, just getting paid shit money. That's all right.
I'll ask them when I'm back there.
Yeah, maybe they could sort of do some
back pay, maybe.
Yeah, do a... who's the Jimmy Grant guy? That was a good gear.
What?
The guy who had to pay all the... Who's the George? No, not George.
George.
Who's the, I'm doing this with my head.
George
Columbaris.
George Columbaris.
He had to pay a lot of money back because he was
accused of underpaying.
Yeah, underpaying. Yeah.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly.
If anything, you may have been overpaid, so you might have to pay them back.
Yeah, imagine if that's how it went.
No, Josh, we looked into it. You actually owe us money.
Exactly. We looked at the CCTV footage. We realized you chatting with Jack Poster wasn't a production meeting. I actually remember that. I remember my boss, Michael Eva, coming in and saying, Josh, you have been sitting in that room with Jack for 4 hours. And I said, we're talking about content.
Was that the day you fired?
No, was it? I quit, guys. But
just before they fired.
Exactly. Yeah,
get
going.
In before they do.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. You can send your emails to hi@thedailytalkshow.com. And the style of this show is that people aren't just guests, they're friends of the show. So we will, if Leon will come back, I guess you'll have a lot of time after the firing.
Just around the corner. I'm happy to go on anytime.
So yeah, we can. Maybe we could maybe get the dolphin guy on again and say, hey, can we do it?
I'd love to have him on.
Do you know what we should do? We should try and have him on again, but say, look, it's a G-rated show. And yeah, just see what he can, see what
or
he can
I'll come on and just stay anonymous.
Yeah. Amazing. And listen to Leon's podcast.
Yeah.
Am I funny? Yeah, feel free.
So good.
Thanks guys.
Bye.